Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Triple Play Analytics. My name is Sasank, and today is going to be one of the state of the blanks. And today we're not going to be looking at an entire division or a conference or a league. We're going to be looking at one team in particular, and that is the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'll be talking about the state of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So before we jump in, here's a message from our sponsor. So, Jim Rutherford must love giving me a hard time. He must love making me question almost every single one of his decisions during free agency. During the year, or at least during the beginning of the season, sure, Jim Rutherford's a genius. He'll make some good trades to get the Pens to the playoffs, or the playoff push. Then near the end of the season, He has a good record, but previously, in this previous season, he's made some bad moves. The Eric Gabranson move is the one I'm pointing at here. So, before I jump right into looking at contract analysis of the team, and kind of saying, okay, who are the obviously good contracts versus the good contracts versus the average, and then the bad and obviously bad, I want to look at the Penguins roster, because there's three players who are currently pending restricted free agents: Teddy Bluger, Zach Aston-Reese, and Marcus Pettersson. And only one of them actually cracks the starting lineup, and that is Teddy Bluger. So on the first line, it's obviously Sid and the kids. It's no longer Sid the kid. It is Sidney Crosby and the kids, Jake Guentzel and Jared McCann. Second line, you have Evgeny Malkin, flanked by Alex Galchenyuk. And then analysts and a lot of websites are saying Patrick Hornquist. I think it should be either Dominic Cahoon or Brian Rust. But sure, let's say Patrick Hornquist is in that mix as well. He is being paid $5.3 million per year, so he should be putting up second-line numbers. Next, we have the third line, centered by Nick Bjugstad. On his wings are, I think, if Hornquist doesn't play the second line, he's definitely on the third line. So we'll say Dominic Cahoon on the left, and then Brian Rust or Patrick Hornquist on the right. And then finally, the fourth line is Teddy Bluger, the Latvian center, and then on his left, Brandon Tanev, and on his right, Dominic Simone. Dominic Simone will hop from the fourth line to the first line, and then back down to the fourth line. That's just Dominic Simone. That's how he does it. In this last season, he played 71 games, and he scored 28 points. It's not bad. It's not good. So, we'll see how he does. And then on the defense, you have the first pairing of Chris Letang and Brian Dumoulin. That's set in stone. The second pairing is Justin Schultz and then Marcus Pettersson, another restricted free agent. And then the third pairing, you have probably Jack Johnson and Eric Gabranson. That physically pained me to say that pairing. Because then your healthy scratches are Juuso Riikola and Chad Ruudel for the defensive core, or defensive, I guess, pairings. And that means you have to re-sign Marcus Pettersson at probably at market value. When he's probably going to be asking, hey, give me, you know, 2 years, $2 million, or 4 years, $2 million, something around that time. It's a pretty good deal for Marcus Pettersson, who just came off a pretty good season. The bad thing is, the Penguins don't have that cap space. They have $1.5 million in projected cap space, but they need to sign Pettersson for around two. I think that's what Pettersson would ask for. So that's a really big problem. Because the Penguins have made some recent bad signings or recent bad extensions, the Penguins are in a bit of a pinch to move players. So thus, we get the state of the Penguins. The pending RFAs, Teddy Bluger, Zach Aston-Reese, and Marcus Pedersen. Two of the three you should sign. One of them you can walk, or just say you can hold out if you want. We don't have the money to sign you, or you take a significant pay cut. So you need to sign Teddy Bluger and Marcus Pedersen. Now, I hate to say this, but Zach Aston-Reese, you're the odd man out. Not only in the RFA class, but also on the forwards. You are going to be that 13th forward. Whenever someone gets injured or scratched, only then will you get to play. That's just how it is, Zach. You don't have the greatest numbers. You're pretty injury-riddled after a really cheap hit against you by Tom Wilson. You were in an unfortunate circumstance, and sadly, you're going to have to pay the price of either not getting paid or not getting played. And you'd hate to see both of those happen to a good player such as Zach Aston-Reese. For his age and for, his play style. Now, with the pending RFAs over, let's move to the obviously good contracts. So, obviously, you have a great contract for the captain and probably still the best player in the NHL, if not the second best, Sidney Crosby, who is signed for $8.7 million from 2020 until 2024-2025. After that, he's an unrestricted free agent. And good thing about his contract is there's a no movement clause. Yes, Sidney Crosby is signed for under $10 million. So that means Artemi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky, who were the big free agents this year, signed for more money than what Sidney Crosby gets paid. If we just look at contract values, that's telling me Artemi Panarin is worth more money than Sidney Crosby, which is absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense in my books, because Artemi Panarin is no Sidney Crosby. Next, we have Evgeny Malkin, signed for $9.5 million until 2021-2022, I believe. He also has a no-movement clause. He is the best second-line center in the league. That's only because he would be a top-five first-line center on any other team. But because the Pens have Crosby, Malkin chose to play second-line behind Crosby. Once again, Artemi Panarin signed for almost $11 million, I think, or over $10 million, something like that. You're saying Artemi Panarin is better than Evgeny Malkin, contract-wise. Nonsense. Now let's move over to the defensive core. Chris Letang, I believe, is on an obviously good contract. $7.25 million until 2021-2022. He has a no move and then a modified trade clause coming at near the end of his contract. That's a smart thing to do, to put a modified no trade on his contract near the end of his contract, because maybe he does fall off. But maybe his play style doesn't work anymore. When they signed him, they were unsure whether or not this offensive defenseman rover type play style would work. And so far, it's working pretty well. Now, Letang needs to hone his skill a bit more if he wants to, be compared to the Doughtys, the Carlsons, and the Hedmans, and the Klingbergs of the league. Letang is, he's not that. He's not the absolute amazing top five defenseman in the league. He's top 10. And if he wants to get to that top five, he needs to be a bit smarter with the puck and a bit smarter in the defensive zone. That being said, he's exceptional at defense. There's a reason why he's top 10 in the league. I think Pens fans, including myself, are a little spoiled, because we're just used to having good players because of Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. We're spoiled, and we don't see Chris Letang as good as he is. And I think taking the Yinzer bias away, Chris Letang is an obviously good player on an obviously good contract. And then the final obviously good contract is the Matt Murray contract. $3.7 $3.75 million this year, and then he's a restricted free agent after. The Penguins decided to give him a bridge deal. Smart. You didn't know if this guy, you know, had it to play the regular season. And we kind of still don't because of injuries and because of, you know, recent history with his family and his father's passing and his injury history. Sure, in the playoffs, he's really good. We do know when it comes to crunch time, Matt Murray will be the guy who puts his team on his back and helps win a game. That's Matt Murray for you. He plays in the clutch. During the regular season? Who knows? Maybe he's good. Maybe he can take the workload. Maybe he can. Maybe the Pens would need a pretty good backup. And that's a perfect transition to our good contracts with our backup goaltender, Casey DeSmith, who last year was an exceptional backup goaltender. Casey DeSmith, $1.25 million until the 2021-2022 season. After that, he is an unrestricted free agent. Casey DeSmith is like 27, maybe. He's a diamond in the rough for the Pens, given that he's a backup goaltender, and he played out of his mind this previous season. So that's a good contract for me. Good contract spending. I would happily spend $1.25 million on a player like Casey DeSmith if he can replicate what he did last season. I would happily pay that money because that, in my mind, is a good contract. It's a good signing that would give, I would give Jim Rutherford a B+. I really would. Another good contract, Jake Guentzel. $6 million until the end of the 2023-2024 season. After that, he's unrestricted. He's actually signed shorter than when Sidney Crosby deals expires. Jake Guentzel is a developing superstar. He is a first-line forward, if not second-line forward. He is easily top six, probably top three. He's good, and I'm really glad the Pens drafted him and have decided to put him next to Sidney Crosby because he has flourished well there. And the same goes for the next guy I'm going to talk about, Brian Dumoulin, who plays next to Chris Letang. Dumoulin signed $4.1 million until the end of the 2022-2023 season. Dumoulin is becoming one of the league's best defensive defensemen. I'd put him up near Mark-Edward Vlasic of the San Jose Sharks, who is, in my mind, the best defensive defenseman in the league. So if Brian Dumoulin can continue developing his defensive skill, getting better on that end, kind of closing that gap from being a top 15 defensive defenseman to being a top 10, if not top 8 defensive defenseman, and kind of finds his offensive touch just a little. Last year, he had a pretty good offensive season for his standards. If he continues that, those are some goals you wouldn't expect. Those are just automatic pluses. Getting a goal scored by Brian Dumoulin is a goal you shouldn't usually get. So the Pens will be happy with any sort of offense from Dumoulin, and I think he's going to get even better working with, believe, the defensive coach is Sergei Gonchar. And for Pens fans that don't remember, Sergei Gonchar helped carry the Penguins to a Stanley Cup. So I'd be really happy with Brian Dumoulin's recent developments and continued developments. Justin Schultz is another one. He was a really good trade. Jim Rutherford made a really good trade to get him from Edmonton for, I think, a third round pick. It's a steal in my books. And he signed for $5.5 million until the end of the 2019-2020 season. He's a UFA after, and he's got a modified no trade clause. So if I do believe if the Penguins can't get Schultz to sign a similar, if not lesser, contract moving forward during this season, kind of get an extension, they will invoke his modified no trade and move him. Because you can easily get assets for Justin Schultz. It's a really good deal. Because you said, sure, we'll pay the player, but we'll also protect ourselves, the Penguins, and our interests by saying, if you're going to pan out. You have this offensive upside. You can quarterback a power play really well. Defensively, we're going to continue working on you. You're going to get better defensively. So now let's think about the future. let's protect ourselves by saying we still want to be able to trade you, though you don't want to get traded. We need to get some sort of assets after, because it's highly unlikely, I hate saying this, it's highly unlikely that Justin Schultz comes back after the end of this year, this season. Highly unlikely. He wants to get paid. He's going to go somewhere, become a top two defenseman or top four defenseman like he is, and a team is going to really, really, really not like that deal. They're going to overpay for Justin Schultz. He's going to get a little less than a Chris Letang deal, and I don't think he's worth that much. He's worth $5.5 million, but he's not worth $6 or $6.5 or $7. Sorry, Justin. It's the way it is. And then the last two are a little bit more recent, as a recent contracts. Juuso Riikola. I think it's a good contract. Got him for $850K until the end of this season. He's a restricted free agent after, so you can continue signing him after. The Penguins would have first bidding on him. So I do think Juuso Riikola needs to get more playing time this season, though he's probably going to be a healthy scratch for most of it. If they do trade away Justin Schultz, well, Juuso Riikola should step up to the plate and start hitting homers for the Pens. Wrong sport, but you get the idea. Juuso Riikola is really, really good. He's a smooth skater. He's got a really good hockey sense. He has exceptional vision without the puck and with the puck. The one thing I think he needs to work on is his offensive upside a little bit. Sure, last season he hit the post a bunch when he should have scored. I think more confidence and more playing time will definitely help him. And the last good contract I want to talk about is Alex Galchenyuk, who signed for $4.9 million this year only, and then he's an unrestricted free agent after. So Gally, for short, or Galchenyuk, was drafted here in Pittsburgh. He played for Montreal, got traded for Max Domi, then went to, so he was traded to Arizona, and then now he got traded for Phil Kessel, along with P.O. Joseph, who the Pens got from Arizona. So I do think the trade for Kessel was a good trade. You got rid of cap hit, or you increased the cap space, let's put it that way. You also get a guy who could score 40 points easily and probably could score 60 points, if not 70, playing with the right players and playing in the right system. Do you think Mike Sullivan's speed-first system is going to help Galchenyuk? I think also playing next to Evgeny Malkin is going to help Galchenyuk. Evgeny Malkin, I do believe, is one of the underrated passers in the league. Everyone knows Malkin's size dominates the league. He will oversize somebody and then barge towards the net and score. He also has an exceptional wrist shot, slap shot. On the power play, he's deadly, but he's also exceptionally good at passing. He's really, really good at finding players, at finding shooters and scorers. He is truly a playmaker, Evgeny Malkin. And when Galchenyuk is playing next to Evgeny Malkin, Malkin is going to find Galchenyuk and make sure Galchenyuk scores the puck, because that's what the Pens need. They need that scoring. Not just power play scoring, 5-on-5 scoring. And Galchenyuk can do that. So then we get our average contracts. And I see four of them. Well, 3.5, let's say that. Nick Bjugstad signed until the end of the 2020-2021 season for $4.1 million. Really, really, that's a big signing. That's a big contract value for a third-line center, but the Pens inherited that when they had to get rid of Derek Brassard and Riley Shan. I do think Bukestad's only going to get better this year. He can use his quote-unquote speed, which I really think is uncanny quickness given his size. And he can use that. He knows how to play well defensively. I think if he learns to use his body and size a bit more better defensively, maybe, you know, hitting a little bit more, then yes, I do think Nick Bjugstad is going to be a steal of a third-line center for the Penguins. I think Nick Bjugstad is an average signing. It's not exceptionally good. It's not exceptionally bad. It's right in the middle, in that Goldilocks zone. Now, the next two contracts are the same exact contract, but there's a little bit of a difference. So Zach Trotman and Chad Riedel signed for $700K until the end of the 2020-2021 season. The difference is Trotman is a two-way defenseman, while Ruedel is only NHL level. So I think these are good deals. Trotman will be that kind of quote-unquote eighth or ninth defenseman when the Penguins inevitably get struck by the injury gnome and just have defenseman injuries out the wazoo this year near December. Zach Trotman will come in and he will earn the cult god status just because he plays well for two or three games and then he gets sent back down to Wilkes-Barre-Scranton. It's an average signing. It's good. It's not bad. It's what you need. So yeah, Jim Rutherford, you get a B on that. Chad Ruedel, same deal. He's going to be a scratch more often than not. And then whenever inevitably Chris Letang gets hit hard and hurt for a little bit, Chad Ruedel will come in. Happens to be like that. That's just how the Penguin season will plan out. Ruedel is pretty good defensively. He needs to get better offensively. He needs to get better at moving the puck. But when it comes to the defensive zone, he's got a pretty active stick. Physically, he might not be the biggest guy, but he does know how to lay the body when he needs to. He's not going to make big open ice hits, and he's not going to pummel somebody under the boards in the corner. But what he will do is knock someone off the puck just enough to where he can poke it away and then chase the puck. He has above average speed for a defenseman, I believe. So he can use that above average speed to kind of really, really give forwards a hard time. Now, he's not going to play against, you know, the Mitch Marners, the Connor McDavids of the league. He's going to be playing against, you know, second and third line guys, which are right up his alley. Those are the battles he has to fight. And I do believe he will win those fights. So now we move to the last average contract I want to talk about, which is Brian Rust. Brian Rust has signed for $3.5 million per year until the 2021-2022 season, until the end of that season. He's an unrestricted free agent after. I am really unsure on if this is an average or a bad contract. Because allow me to give you some comparables. Alexander Kerfoot, who was signed by Toronto, that's $3.5 million until the end of 2022-2023. Tanner Pearson, signed by the Kings, who now plays on Vancouver after a stint with Pittsburgh, $3.75 million until 2020-2021. And then Boone Jenner, I believe he was signed by Columbus and he's still in Columbus, $3.57 million until 2020-2022. So those are the comparable contracts. Now I want to read out some point per game statistics. For the past three seasons, these are Brian Rust point per games, 0.49, 0.55, 0.49. So that means 40, 45, 40 points in 82 games. Now, this is what Brian Rust actually did. 2016-17, 28 and 57. 2017-18, 38 and 69. Last season, 35 and 72. I like the 0.55. I like him scoring. If he could play, let's say, 75 games, scoring 43 points, sure, I would definitely take 40 points a season from Brian Rust. I don't think he can do that, though. He's not consistent. He's a playoff performer, supposedly, a clutch performer. I don't think that's the truth. I don't think that's completely true, but I don't think it's completely false. I think Brian Rust is slightly overpaid. However, I do believe when healthy, Brian Rust is properly played. Thus, we have the predicament of how do you pay and how do you play Brian Rust? Brian Rust should have potential to be a top six forward. And if you play him top six, he's going to produce like second line. But he's also going to get hurt a lot because he's going to face big defensemen, big physical defensemen. So you play him third, fourth line, he doesn't get the playing time, so he doesn't produce what you want. And then you seem like you're overpaying him. And then your cap space is all out of whack, like it is right now. So what do I think the Penguins should do in Brian Rust? Well, I'll be real. They should trade him. Brian Rust should be traded. you free up cap space for the future, and you possibly get assets in a prospect or in draft capital. I really think Brian Russ needs to move on from the Penguins. That sucks because he's one of the reasons why the Penguins won their first Stanley Cup. But hey, that's just sometimes how it has to be. So then now let's move on to our bad contracts. So there are three pretty big names in bad contracts. I'm going to start with the most recent. The first one is Brandon Tanev, $3.5 million until the end of the 2024-2025 season with a modified no-trade clause. Brandon Tanev has been a perennial bottom six forward in the past 3 years. And let me just give you some comparable contracts for him. Michael Ferland, $3.5 million until the end of 2022-2023 with Vancouver, at 0.56 points per game in his last season. Jonas Donskoy, signed with Colorado, $3.9 million until end of 2022-2023, 0.46 points per game. And then Ryan Dzingel, who signed with Carolina, $3.375 million per year at the end of 2020-2021, at 0.71 points per game. Let me tell you how many points per game Brandon Tanev scored last season. 0.36. In 80 games, he scored 29 points. That's 30 and 82. So Jim Rutherford gave a similar contract out to a player who scores almost half as less as Michael Ferland, Jonas Donskoy, and Ryan Dzingel. And on top of that, Tanev has a modified no-trade clause, which means he submits whenever the Pens are going to try to trade him, he submits a 10-team list of which he wants to be traded to. I'm coughing because this contract makes me sick. This is a terrible contract. This is such a bad contract. And if you think this is bad, wait till you hear the one obvious bad contract. This contract makes no sense. Brandon Tanev does not have the offensive upside Jim Rutherford in his wildest dreams thinks. Brandon Tanev is exceptionally good at 1, taking penalties, 2, killing penalties when he's not in the penalty box, and 3, grinding. He's not scoring. He is not worth the money you're going to pay him. So why did you sign him to $3.5 million per year? Per year. It makes no logical sense. The numbers show it. Now maybe Brandon Tanev showed something that the Penguins really needed. And I'll tell you, the Penguins really don't need Brandon Tanev. What they really, really, really need is to move Eric Gudbranson and then give Jack Johnson more playing time so that they can move him after. That's what they really need. They don't need to fill up their cap space with a bottom six forward. I just don't get it. This is a bad contract, and it has no logical backing. It really doesn't. The next bad contract let's talk about, in the same vein of forwards, I'm going to talk about Patrick Hornquist. This is a relatively controversial bad contract. He signed for $5.3 million until the end of the 2022-2023 season. He has a no-trade clause. I say this is a bad contract for two reasons. 1, his health is an issue. Patrick Hornquist gets beat up a lot by the way he plays. He plays near the front of the net. He wants to get down in the dirty zones to give his teammates and himself a better shot at scoring. How do you score? By putting the puck in the net. What's a good way to put the puck in the net? Disrupt the people in front of the net. That's what Patrick Hornquist does. He is a disruptor. He'll get to the front of the net. He'll push and shove. he'll get cross-checked in the face, and no penalty will get called. So Patrick Hornquist takes a physical beating, and nothing happens. And then he gets paid $5.3 million because he puts up points, because he plays through injuries, he comes back, he has good games, then he gets hurt again, and he's out for a while. It's a vicious cycle, and it needs to stop. So this contract is two things. Patrick Hornquist overperforming in a year, and that's why he got it. And the reason why it's bad is because the NHL officiating sucks. In the past four seasons, these are Hornquist's points per games. 2015-2016, 0.62. That's 51 points in 82 games. The next season, 0.63. That's 52 in 82 games. The season after that, 0.70, 57 in 82. And then the last season, 0.54, or 44 in 82. In the past four seasons, Patrick Hornquist has played one season where he plays all games, one season where he's played over 80 games, one season where he's played over 75 games, and he's played three seasons where he's played at least 70. Patrick Hornquist has missed 10 games at least in the past three seasons, in each season. You don't like to see that from a guy that should be top six, if not first line material. Last season, he scored 37 points in 69 games. The biggest concern was Patrick Hornquist was out for a good amount of time because of concussions. You don't want to see that happen to a player like Patrick Hornquist, who plays hockey in old school way and gets rewarded well and is seen as one of the nicest and hardworking players. You don't want to see a player have health issues like this. And the Penguins, I truly believe, made a mistake of giving him this big contract. And it was an extension, not a free agent signing when his contract ended. This was an extension. And his player comparables aren't bad. He can be compared to contractually, taking some input also on points and age and whatnot. Jordan Eberle, Brian Little, Franz Nielsen. Two of the three comparables are good. Franz Nielsen, not so much. But Detroit has a history of signing not so good players on big contracts. I pray Jim Rutherford doesn't follow suit. And then the last bad contract we have is the obvious Jack Johnson. But it's not as bad as you think. $3.25 million until the end of 2022-2023. Due to his term, he won't be... I strongly believe he will not be traded this offseason. He will not be traded next offseason. You have to wait 2 years to trade him. So, make the most of it, Jim Rutherford. Play him. Get him on the second defensive pairing. Show us why you decided to sign him. Show us his quote-unquote skill. That's not the biggest problem, playing him. I think the biggest problem is actually he could possibly be blocking younger players who can grow and get better than him in the next two seasons. Younger defensemen. He could really be blocking them. That's my problem with him. This is why I believe this is a bad contract, because he's not allowing the continued cycle of development in the Penguins' defense. He's not allowing it. He signed too long, and you have to play him. You have to get your money's worth on Jack Johnson. And doing that will inflict a lot of pain on the team, on the fan base, on the defense. So good job, JR. You may have stagnated a continuing development cycle, which could lead to a rebuild. The Pens rebuilt on the fly recently. They might have to do it again. It's not easy to rebuild on the fly. It really isn't. Jim Rutherford was, I think, exceptionally lucky that he rebuilt on the fly, because most of the rebuilding materials he got weren't his. He didn't draft Jake Guentzel or Matt Murray. He didn't do that. This was after him. This happened actually before Jim Rutherford became general manager. What he did was he made trades to win the Stanley Cups. He needs to continue making trades to win Stanley Cups, not signings to try to win Stanley Cups. Free agency is the biggest myth in the NHL. It might pan out, it might not. There's no guarantee in free agency, and Jim Rutherford is acting like there is one. Last year he did it with Jack Johnson, this year he did it with Brandon Tanev. Hopefully these don't come back to bite the Penguins in the ass. Hopefully it doesn't. And the one obvious bad contract is Eric Branson. The Penguins needed a big body that's not Jack Johnson to help protect players, and thus they got Branson for Tanner Pearson, I believe, from Vancouver. Hopefully the Pens can, you know, get him out, move him somewhere else. If Branson starts showing the potential he should have had, then sure, this will turn from an obviously bad contract where he signed for being paid on average $4 million until the end of 2020-2021. Maybe they could actually make that look average, if not bad. It's obviously bad, so there's only one place you can go from here, and that's up. Hopefully Eric Branson can prove me and the rest of the Pittsburgh media wrong that he still has room to grow and he actually can get better. So with these bad and obviously bad contracts, you got to think, everyone's going to be thinking, how do you get rid of them? How do you get rid of these players? How do you offshore these contracts, this money? Who do you dump it onto? And who do you put with it? Who do you give up? Because usually when you trade away a bad contract, you have to give up something kind of nice to kind of sweeten the deal for another team. And I know the perfect deal sweetener that the Penguins have. That's Tristan Jarry. Tristan Jarry right now is not an NHL-level goaltender. He's a backup at the NHL. He's not a starter. But the thing is, the Penguins have no need for Jarry. He's blocked behind not only Matt Murray, but also Casey DeSmith. And last spring training, Jarry did not perform well. During the season, Jarry did not perform well. Hopefully, in the fall, he performs well to where we could trade him. Tristan Jarry should be in the NHL. He should be a backup. He should get serviceable playing time. It's just not with the Penguins. It needs to be with another team, and the Pens need to move him. They're wasting this kid, and they're wasting an opportunity to get rid of a bad contract. Like Branson or Johnson, and maybe they can pair him with Rust and get something even better. Who knows? Jim Rutherford, you're a trade wizard, so get to it. So, with that, I want to end this exceptionally long State of the Penguins. So, if you have any questions, comments, want to let me know whether or not I made some, whether or not Brian Rust actually is average or good or bad, who knows? Let me know. Tweet at me at SasankVish or at TriPlayAnalytic. Let us know. I want to hear what you guys think. So, thank you very much for watching, and hope everyone has a great day.